views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not reflect the views or endorsement of any entity. Nothing being said on this podcast should be considered as investment advice.
GM Jim. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Woo! GM Jim, let's go.
This is too loud and too early.
Dude, we're here for it.
Whose idea was this to have this early of a podcast?
It's insane. I think it's probably Mal's, but I just want
to... Oh, we got backup music?
For the live audience, I just want everybody to know this. Snowfro is in the building. Can we give him a round of applause? Woo, woo, woo,
woo, woo. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
All right, Mal, I need you to... We're going to have a few technical difficulties here, everyone that's watching the stream, because that's the way it is. Mal, music's great. I need you to switch the tab so I can see the rundown as well.
It's not working.
Thank you. There we go.
There we go.
We had a little Tupac to kick things off there, which is okay. Welcome to 100 Proof okay. Live. What?
You were like, it's okay. It's just okay.
I love Tupac.
It's okay.
What are you going to hate? You're coming in spicy and hot today. I love it.
I am. I'm hungover. I'm not.
Are kidding. You?
Yes.
Finally. Good.
Whose idea was it to have a proof event the night before 100
It was
proof?
Dumb.
I have no idea. It was dumb, Maggie.
We shouldn't have done this.
Maggie,
yeah.
You're done.
And then the second I get here, Drew Barman hands me a mimosa.
Yeah.
And he's like, here. And I'm like, Drew, I love you. And thank you for the mimosas for everyone. But it's a little early. Yeah. But I can dip in maybe. And then Sam got all the round of applause more than anyone else.
One more
Sam's
for Sam.
Here.
One Sam, more for Sam.
Sam. It's because of Frentech. That's
all right. Because of Frentech. Is he joined?
Is Frentech Sam. ETH.
You said you have a burner account in there.
You know.
Oh, we gotta find it then. It's 0.05 ETH. Okay, so we've got a great schedule and show for you today. Obviously. Huge thanks to Drew Barman for the drinks, and we have Moonbird Gin here as well, which is awesome. Derek, you're here, man.
I'm here.
It's good to have you, and
Thank
good to
you.
Be at your location.
At Glitch.
This is
Let's
Glitch.
Go.
So that's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Obviously, Amanda's going to be here. You're going to be bouncing around, taking all the live questions, so it'll be nice to have Amanda fielding those so that we can do a live interactive show. We've got Nifty here, Nifty 50s here from Squiggle Dow, which is awesome.
Woo!
Let's go. Snowfro. Malta and Madison from Glitch, which is going to be great to have them on the show.
Yeah.
And then lastly, just a reminder, we're doing another live show in downtown LA at our Foundry location. You can now get tickets at September 29th, so just events.proof.xyz, and there's going to be an after party there as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun.
And Eli's here.
I'm also here.
Sorry.
I'm also here.
I have not had my coffee yet. I apologize.
Oh, we're
Plus,
good.
Die with the most likes.
Oh,
Let's
yes,
go.
Die with the most likes. How could I forget? Sitting right behind me.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It's like die with
if
the most likes.
If you have been on Twitter for the last 3 months, you have seen this man's post. Die with the most likes, folks.
I mean, yes.
That is super exciting. That's awesome. You are my favorite artist of this year. Like, I'm being dead serious. Like, woo, your stuff woo. Is so... Wild.
Killing it.
When we watched Grails, I was dying laughing. I had not seen that clip yet, and it was amazing. So, awesome. So, should we kick things off?
Let's do it. So, we've got, I think the best thing we can do is probably talk about why we're all here. This is a packed room. We're in Marfa. We're at Glitch. I know the reason I'm here and the whole team is here from Glitch is because of this guy. So, Snowfro, I would love for you to just talk about what Marfa means to you, both as an artist, for what you're building, and maybe give a little bit of context to like why we're all here for the third ArtBlocks weekend.
It's the third ArtBlocks weekend. This is insane. Thank you all for coming. It's insane. It really is. I wake up every morning and I'm just kind of still kind of wondering how this is all coming together. My wife and I started coming to Marfa maybe about 7 years ago, right before maternity leave ended for her when we had our first kid. I wanted to go to Big Bend. She wanted to come to Marfa. I was also excited to come to Marfa. And I fell in love with this place. And I remember driving out and thinking, gosh, like I really wish that I could do something here. Soon after that, we started coming out regularly. And the more I came, the more I wanted to be here. Selfishly, when ArtBlocks started, I found it as an excuse to come out here more often. And this is before ArtBlocks was a thing that in my wildest imaginations would have this many people in this room, much less like in this whole town. So selfishly, you know, got a house here in Marfa, put some artwork on the walls with it. At the time, there was a team of 5 people, maybe 10 by that point. And yeah, October that year, we said, come check out our house. And we thought maybe a dozen would come, and a couple hundred people came, or some estimates as many as 300. And it's just been insane ever since. So yeah, this is a very special place to me. The people in this town are incredible human beings, artists, entrepreneurs, just nature lovers. The landscape is one of my favorite landscapes in the world. The mountains. It's just a very special place. So I feel very honored to have everybody come and join us here. And I hope that you guys enjoy the town, enjoy the merchants. Like, go check out the shops. Yeah. There's some really cool stuff around here. The people are really nice. They live in this. You know, they call it an island sometimes because it is kind of hard to get to. And yeah, go say hi and meet the town, because they're for the most part excited to have us here, and you know, it'd be really nice for them to get to know everybody as well.
Eric, before the ArtBlocks weekends, what was the art scene like here? I'm curious. Like, there's the Donald Judd background here. Just talk a little bit about the culture in terms of art here prior to ArtBlocks, and maybe what drew you here in some parts initially.
Yeah, on the first visit out here, we went to go check out Chinati, and I saw the maybe one of my favorite pieces of art in the world is called 100 Untitled Boxes in Milled Aluminum. I keep conflating the name with another project these days. And anyways, it's incredible. And if you haven't had a chance to check it out, there's a piece where there's 100 boxes and they're all within the same form factor, but they're all slightly different. And it's a huge inspiration for what ArtBlocks is, because if you take the idea of one of those boxes out of that room and you look at it individually, it's beautiful, but it's within the context of all of the other works, all of the other iterations, all of the other ways that those boxes come together, that it really kind of comes together as an artwork. And that is a huge inspiration. The Flavin pieces, Donald Judd's just, you know, someone that I, from an artistic perspective, always admire. And coming down to Marfa to actually just kind of enjoy the scenery and stumbling into the art was like a really special thing. When it's not ArtBlocks weekend, the rest of the year, Marfa is just like it has always been. It's been this, you know, kind of mecca for art in the middle of the desert. And while I feel very honored that we can make an impact in something very fresh and innovative, you know, the history runs deep here, and we are just but like a tiny little part of that history.
I want to loop in Nifty here in a second, but I got to ask, because I think what you've brought to the town of Marfa is this interplay of the real world and the digital in a place where, like, experimentation has always been welcome. And Donald Judd came here and wanted to play with the harshness of these spaces with his own work. And the spin that ArtBlocks has brought is taking some of the rules-based approach to making work, but adding a layer of technology to it. I think this is what you did with the squiggle. This is what you're doing with the ArtBlocks platform. This is what you're doing with this weekend. I see the chipped mesh tapped. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well. I know we got the IYK guys here. They're the brains behind that. But talk a little bit about the role of technology in ArtBlocks and this weekend and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, huge shout out, IYK. Also, Harvey, I don't know if he's in the audience, and Shane Richardson. They both worked together on this beautiful piece called Marfa Mesh. I think if you guys, yay Harvey. There's a need for us to be experimenting ways of having a different experience than what's happened for the last 3 years. We need to find new ways to interact with each other. And Harvey has really dug deep into a way to get people to become connected and still meet the on-chain deterministic requirements of doing something on ArtBlocks, which is pretty special, trying to fit within those constraints. I think if you have one of these badges and you tap somebody else's, what you're doing is you're creating a generative moment that's an interaction with another human that gets recorded later permanently on the Ethereum blockchain on a generative artwork that they created. It's something that is powered by the combination of generative, deterministic generative art, IYK and the ability to kind of tap and interact with each other. And the app that Shane Richardson built that kind of extracts the color data and uploads it to the artwork. So it's just a very special new way of interacting with things. And it's a beautiful way of a lot of people in this ecosystem that have been around for a while that are always contributing and always looking for ways to innovate. It really is like a beautiful innovation within our ecosystem. And hopefully we'll see more and more of this kind of stuff. Harvey's brain is locked in on ways of interacting with art in a way that we have not, you know, quite seen before. And so he's going to be a pioneer in that. He already is a pioneer in that. And I would very much encourage y'all to follow his work and where his brain's at, because it's something that I'm fascinated by personally.
I'm curious, going over to Squiggle DAO for a second here, is it really weird to have a DAO formed around your art? Like, how did that all happen? How did this connection... I mean, it's really cool. I haven't heard of a lot of DAOs that spin up around individual artwork collections. There's very few. I mean, there's some punks and things of that nature. But how did this connection happen? And then can you tell us a little bit about the DAO for those that aren't aware, like what your whole purpose is with the DAO? Like, what's the mission?
Yeah. So the mission is to collect and promote the Squiggle. Within collect, we like to break it down as build the biggest and best collection. So it's not adding more and more floors. It's also adding a... pieces that tell a story and make an interesting collection. And the promote, we like to say that everything we do needs to support Snowflow, supports the Squiggle, or support the community. So that's our goal with everything we do. And a little bit about ourselves that I would like to mention is that we have 330 pieces. We are the fourth largest holder. 75% of our treasury, $15 million, is in Squiggles. But then we have 25% in USDC and ETH. And that's important for us because it's giving us a runway until almost to 2030, which we think that we believe that the Squiggles will succeed, so we just need to survive to succeed with them. So that's why the runway is so important for us.
Going in a slightly different direction, there's this conversation at the moment around mathematical traits with Squiggles and community-based traits.
Why are you going to bring that up right now?
Poor Snow.
I'd be curious, maybe from both of your perspectives. Has that been interesting to see in terms of a development? How do you think about traits generally? And
last week was a rough week. There's enough people in this room to come up with the word. I've heard it multiple times. There's this thing called a something effect, when something is true for long enough that it just kind of becomes true. And I think, you know, after 3 years of people deeply getting into the mathematics of the Chromie Squiggle, finding out that there was, you know, some inconsistencies in the way that the feature script put it together was a massive shock. And what else was a shock is just like, as an artist, you create this thing, first of all, release this thing for $20. That feature script hadn't been looked at in 3 years. And, you know, everything just kind of like happens. DAOs form around this project, the prices of these things go kind of crazy. And, you know, a lot of times people are like, hey, when a Squiggle sells for a lot of money, are you really excited? And yeah, I am, but I'm also like terrified. Like, it's crazy to see this thing go for this, you know, these amounts of money. And so it's all kind of like a big, weird thing. And I think a lot of artists have dealt with that in the last 3 years. And, you know, this idea that we're beholden to this thing that we created under a different artistic moment, like in the history of this piece, what happens if in 3 years more mathematical things are discovered? And like, you know, it's just a very weird moment. So after a lot of internal debate and turmoil and consulting with the smartest Squiggle people in the world, it just became very clear that the art, the traits that exist today are part of the art. They were part of the art from the beginning, and they will remain exactly the same now, and they will remain in the future, even if somebody finds out that there's like, I don't know, it's doing backflips mathematically. I don't know, like, it is going to be what it is. And changing it would be changing the art. And I think that's a precedent that I don't think makes sense to be setting, not just for like the Chromie Squiggle, but for any generative art. A generative artist can't release something today and then feel for the rest of their life that like some very intelligent mathematical thing could come up that makes them, it's a precedent that I feel like is the right precedent to set. The art is the art. This is how it is. It's how it always will be. And to celebrate this new information, right? Like, I think it's pretty amazing. I've always thought that the chromium squiggle was missing some circles in the bottom because they were sandwiched on top of like the circles that came after that. Well, that's not the case, right? And we figured that out, and it feels good. Now it's just a matter of what the history looks like from here.
I think this just gets baked into the lore of the whole project, right? Like, I was talking to another generative artist here a few months ago, and they told me that their entire launch was like, you know, 8 months of coding development to get this done, but 3 months of trying to track down one specific bug that would only show up like every like 5,000 times or something, right? And it's just like, there's gonna be, I mean, this is human written code, there's gonna be some little errors and things that happen, and I'm sure you're not gonna be the only project that we look into over the long term, especially as you apply AI to be able to review the code at later points in time. There's going to be all kinds of things that we're going to discover. But that it's locked in stone, right? Like, it is what it is, and you bought it because you love the look of it today, and it's part of the lore.
Yeah. The only other thing I would say is, like, I agree with all of this. It's such a great analogy for why we love this project, right? On the surface, this is these beautiful, simple internet rainbows that are on-chain through this great innovation that you devised. But underneath, I remember feeling this myself in 2020, it's like the exploration that you can do and investigate, it just will never end. And like, I'm sitting here with full confidence that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, there will be combinations of math that gets put together that explores the richness of this collection in more detail than we can have today. So it's just, it's a never-ending journey. It's why we're all so excited about the squiggle. And it's great to see the community have another vector by which to collect on.
Yeah, and to that, I mean, the Squiggle DAO has done such a great job with, like, the community traits and, you know, picking up a bunch of stuff that's just more on the fun side. I mean, when again, it was a long time ago when this project was released, and they've done a really wonderful job of putting everything else together.
Let's talk about that for a bit. So how do you, thanks for giving the quick background on Squiggle DAO and the mission and how well-funded you guys are and how awesome your squiggles are. That's pretty formidable. Where do you want Squiggle DAO to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What do you want people in this room to remember about this conversation? And what do you want the public 10 years from now to think when they think about Squiggle DAO?
Great question. So we love to see Squiggle DAO as the curator of squiggles, or a little bit of highlighting those interesting pieces and adding more lore, as Kevin was saying, to the collection. That's what we try to do with those curated traits that we introduced, community traits that we are highlighting, because everything is driven by a community, so we are just always listening to the community. And in 5 years, who knows, because this is changing so quickly that, as I remember Kevin saying, that in this space makes no sense to have a 3-5 year roadmap because it's going to change. But we would love to see the collection like being maybe exhibited in different museums around the world or things like that. So that's our long-term ambitions.
One question for those that don't know that are a member, like, is this a closed thing where, you know, I think about like Flamingo and stuff, and there's a buy-in price and all that. Like, how do you actually become a member and help participate in Squiggle DAO?
So we just recently transformed the DAO from an ERC-20 token based to an NFT. So you can just buy the entrance from OpenSea. But 90% of the DAO is open. So everyone that comes and asks, hey, I'm looking to buy a Squiggle, can you give me some advice? We are always happy to help. The community is super great vibe. So everyone in the community is giving advice, chiming in on what should be this first Squiggle purchase. And then there is a little bit of benefits and a little bit of extra raffles, extra information, extra perks for those Squiggle True fans that we call it. And that's the ones that are holding the Squiggle DAO NFT.
By the way, I got my Squiggle skateboard. So thank you for that. Yeah,
we are raffling a few skateboards signed by Snowflow later today.
So. They're amazing. Oh, wow. They're really sweet skateboards. You don't have one close by, do you? Like, they're really awesome.
In the car.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, so I got cool. The one in the middle there. They're kind of epic. So
I know we're coming up on time. Why don't you talk a little bit about that event coming up, and then I can do a little bit to share what Snowflow will be doing at that event as well.
Brunch at noon. We are going to be giving away merch. We are going to be exhibiting a few squiggles, a few highlights from our collection, raffling infinite objects, skateboard signed by Snowfro, and you can see a video that we did with our friends from Zarta with a professional skateboarder running the skateboard, amazing, the Squiggle DAO skateboard.
It's a great video.
Yeah. Awesome video. And Snowfro will also be here, and the reason he'll be here for not just to support Squiggle DAO is because for full set collectors who have all collected one of every 30-day poster collection, you, being in Marfa, qualified to get a physical poster editioned and signed by Snowfro, which he will be signing himself right out front of Glitch at 12 o'clock. So we're very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know if y'all saw Grant signing yesterday, but you're putting together some really exciting stuff around.
Snow is trying to get. We ran out of Grant Union sign posters. I'm trying to track one down for Snow because we don't have enough, and I feel terrible.
Wait a minute.
No, I got you.
We made a deal.
Snow, close us out. What is the thing that you hope people remember about this weekend or about the Squiggle? What do you want to say to all the folks that are tuned in and here present to share space with you?
Well, number one, I don't think they're here because they're setting up for the event across the street, but I just want to say thank you to all of the Art Blocks team. That is, it's insane.
Let's give a round of applause for Art Blocks.
Together to this.
The best. The best.
You see Art Blocks people, this has grown bigger than just Art Blocks. Obviously, Glitch has done an incredible job in hosting and participating with us, and we're very grateful for that. But if you see anyone from Art Blocks, they've really put a lot into this event. And, it's becoming special for more than just me. It's very special to have all of us here. And just shout out to my wife, who's always been very supportive and
she's the best.
Puts up with all of these insane things. So that's it. Thank you to just make sure tap a Art Blocks person on the back and say thank you because they've put so much into this. Yeah.
I know you have a hard stop. Do you have a minute to take an audience question, or are we good? Yeah, Amanda, did you want to?
Yes. My question is, hey, I'm with Ed. Ed Balloon. He made it out.
Ooh. Ed, yeah.
Ed Balloon. My question for
best
Ed
shoes
is,
in the game, for sure.
Ed, do you have a squiggle? And if not, why do you hate generative art?
Actually, I love generative art.
I know.
I actually fell in love with it from Eric. And he was the one who was like kind of mentoring me and stuff like that. So shout out to Eric. And he actually got me down here. He was like, hey, Ed, I want you to come too. So I'm here at Monster.
So glad you made it.
It's
amazing.
It's incredible to actually watch it. You were out here doing one of ones and stop motion art, and then this year with Prohibition, shout out to Jordan wherever he is.
Yeah.
There he is. Yay. Shout out to Jordan. Because of Prohibition, you actually launched your own generative piece collection, and it was beautiful, man. I'm happy that I feel like the little bit of that culture, a little bit of that all these references, all the people, all the excitement around generative art kind of got you to experiment a little bit, right?
Honestly, the generative art community is really
yes, the best.
I mean,
except for Moonbird, so I mean, whatever.
I'm getting in trouble, but there is this beautiful like loudness to the community when it comes to you guys loving art, and it was something where I was just like, well, I really want to be a part of this, and when it came to me doing my project, I really want to also just shout out Eric because there is this, he's very humble. He's not going to tell you, but he's also very honest. And he cares about artists really being honest when it comes to their work. And so this was my first time trying something out. And he wanted me to really be honest with it. So, that project really came to be because of people being honest. Kevin too, and others. People.
Me.
And you. and Amanda too. But, legit having people willing to have that conversation and allowing you and encouraging you. But being honest, and that was what I really loved about the generative art community, and that's kind of what I saw from the leaders, and so hence why I decided to troop from LA to Martha.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Check out Ed's collection
For everything that he's done.
I just want to say one thing about Ed though here is that it's one of the most authentic artworks I've seen in the last 3 years in this ecosystem in terms of where it comes from and the honesty behind it. It's pretty amazing. I remember the first time I saw it. And so, yeah, congratulations to you for putting that.
Got time for one more question? Okay, let's do one last one.
Does anyone have any questions from Eric Snowfro? Eric Snowfro, you do?
Let's go. So, speaking of Prohibition, I see you have a heart on your sleeve. Can you tell us about that?
She wants the merch. That's all she wants. She wants the merch.
Working on some merch. I got to do a project this year with Jordan Lyle over there in the corner and his incredible Prohibition team called Heart and Craft.
Round of applause for Prohibition and Jordan.
It's been a really wonderful experience, not only working with Jordan and his team, they're incredible, but also just getting to see this project come to life. If you've been to Marfa in the past, there's a little heart next to the Art Blocks house, next to the front door. It's been there for I think a couple of years at this point. I used to make these things 7 years ago, and being able to make this algorithmically, and then also be able to, you know, it's a $16 thing, and working with IYK, getting to literally just like tap a card and mint them to people, just because it's not some crazy expensive NFT. Like it's pretty fun. But the on the merch side, you know, the idea of the project is that it does become a physical thing. It does kind of take on a physical form, and we're exploring what it looks like for these things to live beyond the screen. You know, working on some iron-ons, they kind of look like stickers, but you know, we're working through this process, we're iterating, and little by little we'll get to a point where we're happy with it.
Great. Well, I think that's it. We'll let you guys get back to your day. Thank you so
much.
Snowfro
and Nifty, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was fantastic. I will say one thing before we move on. One of the things that's really special about Marfa is how long it takes to get here. And actually, it's a good thing. In my mind, when I look around the audience here and I interacted with people last night, you know, either at dinner or at our event that we did, it was clear that, like, if you're making the trek, you care about art. And, like,
absolutely.
I love that there's a little bit of a barrier 100%. To actually pull it off.
100%. Yeah. 3 hours from El Paso. 6.5 hours from Austin. People that are coming here want to be here, and it really shows. Like the quality of the conversations we're having all weekend, it's pretty stellar.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's kick off with your crew here.
Yeah. So,
what's up?
Round of first of all, this is Glitch. This is the three of us. This is what we also have some amazing other team members that help us out, but this is the core team that, you know, works hard every week to put together really awesome exhibitions every month. Just for quick context, our first product is called Every 30 Days, where every 30 days we feature a single artist, single object, and we show it live here in Marfa, so anyone can come and enjoy that exhibition. And we stream it synchronously 24/7 through HypeShot digitally. And we write an exhibition statement, we tell stories, we feature the artists heavily throughout the month. We do Twitter spaces and all sorts of things. And then it's accompanied by a very low-cost representation of the exhibition, a digital poster, that you can usually buy for about $30. And there's only about 1,000 of them every month. And this is the team that puts it together every month. And this is Madison, and this is Malta.
Yeah. Welcome. So,
Thank you.
So Derek, we know enough about you. Malta and Madison, give us a little bit of your backstory. How did this come together, the three of you?
Yeah, I'm Madison. Nice to meet you guys. I'm the director of Glitch and also one of the curators of this awesome Every 30 Days project. The origin story for us, Derek's my husband, so.
Oh.
Let's go.
So that's that.
Alpha.
Derek met Malta in Mexico City at Bright Moments last year. Glitch had just launched alongside Art Blocks Weekend. Amazing events, amazing group of people. We knew we sort of had something really special. And so Mexico City happened a few days later, and Malta happened to be there. And, you know, Malta's work is standalone, just brilliant work. And, you know, Derek always comes to me and goes, like, I've got a plan. And I'm always like, okay. You know, whatever. So he said, you know, I think we really need to work with Malta to help story tell Glitch. And I have this idea of this piece called Every 30 Days. And so I'll kind of let Malta take it from here of how we kind of all got going.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity to be here. It's fantastic. My background is sort of I worked in the art market, like contemporary art market, pre-NFTs. And then I worked for a long time for Bright Moments, had an amazing time working with the team. That's, as Maddie mentioned, that's how I met Derek. And I think Glitch, for me, really emerged from the conversations that we had, thinking about, you know, what kind of gallery do you want to be if you enter the space, assuming that you don't want to be another gallery who's like doing drops in the standard sense that we're seeing it, I think. And so I think where we landed was that we wanted to do something around storytelling and education that maybe has elements of like art criticism and art history, but it's not academic in any sense, but it's sort of like fresher and sort of like maybe sophisticated and fun, something like that. And that's, I think, how we started to experiment. And yeah, I'm super grateful for being able to work with the project. It's so much fun. Maddie is doing all the heavy lifting with operational
Maddie
work.
Maddie, she's so humble. She's doing all the work. This whole weekend was planned by Maddie. She didn't really go into her background, but she's a former entrepreneur. She was a professional dancer for many years from the contemporary art world, performed in New York and Los Angeles, and so has this very rich experience with live spaces and performing to live audiences that has been instrumental as we put this together.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I'm curious about is, I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but you said our first product is this every 30 days. What's the next product?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we're ready to reveal anything just quite yet, but what I will say is the through line with everything that we do is really meshing ourselves at this intersection of physical and digital. Like, that's very core to what we're trying to do at Glitch. I think the second thing is we're here to support artists, right? We're not creating our own, you know, drops. We're not doing our own thing at Glitch. We're really here to help storytell and bring life to the digital art movement, which is something that all three of us feel very passionate about. It's inevitable to us that, you know, right now there's, you know, a few hundred people that are in this room and in the spillover next door, and maybe another 500 or 600 that are tuned in live to watch this. It's our view that tens of millions of people are going to be interacting with digital art over the next 5 to 10 years. And we want to help bring context and life to all of the artists that are doing great work at this in this space. And so without revealing too much yet, I mean, every 30 days is our first, it's our core, but we've got plans to do other things in the future.
Very cool. Madison, that comment that Derek made to you about Malta, you know, he's someone we need to work with. I've made the same comment to Kevin about Malta. Malta is really one of the most talented curators, not just in our space, but just broadly. So amazing to see you here now at Glitch, Malta.
Thank you so much.
No, I was just going to totally agree. I'll just give the quick background. We were in Mexico City. I had never met Malta. I had spent no time with his work. And it was raining, there were some technical difficulties, and Malta came up to me and was like, hey, do you want to check out some of the work? And we can go one by one to see some of the work before it opens up. And I was like, sure. So he introduced himself, he worked for Bright Moments, and it became clear to me by the third piece that this was someone who was viewing the work at a level that I just hadn't really seen. And I remember walking back to Maddie from that conversation, and I was like, we need to find all of Malta's work, we're going to read it on the plane home. And when we got back, I was totally convinced that he was somebody we wanted to bring into the mix.
Let's talk a little bit more about the physical and the digital. You mentioned it, Derek. You guys are doing these digital posters, but then you mentioned with Snowfro, you have these physical posters that he'll sign. Obviously, we're in your physical space showing the work. Talk about sort of where the physical fits into what we're trying to get done in terms of broader adoption of digital art.
Yeah, do you guys want to take this first, or I can jump in?
I can take it. So I do hope you read the long form. Every month we have a long form, and it does take a long time to read. And that's intentional. And I think, you know, the pace of certainly this space is so fast, and the intention is to really slow down and take the time to learn about the artwork broadly, but also learn about how it ties into art history more broadly. So with the physical posters, you can see if you go to the bathroom at Glitch, we have our physical posters printed out. And I think you're right, Eli. I think it's going to take people who are interested in digital art and also very passionate about being in a, in a physical body. We all have them. So the idea for us is really like how to actually acknowledge that. I think we love coming to Marfa because we're seeing each other face to face. We love the internet because of all the technology it can bring to us. So we're really interested in like how do we play with that? How do we push boundaries? So we do have the 24 live stream of the physical object, which is always on our Danvis. Shout out to Danvis, who is so gracious to give us this screen. Well, we paid for it. and so yeah, we love pushing the boundaries of actually creating the exterior space as well Maybe Malta can talk a little bit about the sculpture we're creating outside. Do you want to?
Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I can jump in. Probably, Derek, you're the pro on the sculpture. Maybe I can add though that I think sort of the way we thought about this online and in person presence is that we wanted to address and work with this almost ironic fact that there's this physical gallery in the middle of nowhere, and we're addressing ourselves to an audience that's primarily online. And I think so. We want to play with that in various ways. And E30D is doing that already with the live stream and sort of the events that we're hosting there. But I think things that we want to do in the future with like physical posters and other like hybrid formats want to lean more strongly into that aspect.
Yeah, I'll give one example. Eric talked a little bit about it, but IYK this year is powering this amazing art project at the intersection of physical and digital. Right, we're all physically here. We get these chips that are embedded within. I'm seeing them all around. Right, they've got the mesh IYK art blocks badges, and they're able to create a rich experience with digital art through the physical embodiment of the connections that we make while we're all here this weekend. That's a brilliant example of technology empowering further, deeper connections between people through this intersection of digital and physical. Another example is the people of Marfa are starting to really warmly embrace the work that we're doing here with digital art. It's taken some time. But one of the things that Maddie was just articulating was how do we bring and extend this exhibition to the sidewalk so that anybody who comes into Marfa on the weekend can really lean into the work that we're doing digitally on the internet all the time. And so we're building a sculpture outside. It's going to be powered by IYK. It's these two brilliant geniuses right here. You'll see a lot of them over the next few years. And that sculpture is, the first embodiment of it is an old Macintosh. And there will be an NFC component to the Macintosh where you'll be able to tap your phone against it and an object next to the Macintosh that will allow you to have a rich experience with the work we're doing at Glitch. But that's just an example of how we're trying to lean into the space and really bridge and build these really deep connections at that intersection of physical and digital spaces.
And I guess not shy away from physical and digital. Like that, like let's embrace it. Let's embrace the contradiction and the sense of humor that we're in this crazy gallery in the middle of Marfa, and it can also be on the internet at the same time.
How do you balance when you're on the curation side, when you're thinking about artists to show off for the next month and into the future? How much of that is like blue chip, we've already heard of it, versus thinking about, oh, there's a bunch of great up-and-coming artists that we also want to figure out how to highlight and give them a space. What does that process look like on the kind of editorial curation side for you all?
Want to take
all?
This, Malta?
Sure. Great question. Thanks. I think one thing that we want to do is that we want to surprise people. So the way we select artists is, I think, meant to be, taking on some of the iconic works like Squiggles or XCopy, but then also bring in artists who we think are sort of extremely significant, but maybe don't have the same mindshare, like, for example, Terraforms with by Math Castles, and to overall create a sense of anticipation and surprise by people, and also have this juxtaposition of what is seemingly historic and iconic already and what is seemingly only emergent or very new, because on a different time scale, this is all like very, very recent. I think we have high conviction that things like Squiggle or XCopy will remain in this position of like a blue chip, very iconic work of art. But with other things, I think we feel confident to point out other works that are classified as much more emergent that we think are of extremely high quality and should be contextualized with the care that we're giving to the collections.
Going back to the sculpture for a moment, I'm curious. We think a lot at Proof in terms of expanding the message of what we're trying to get done on the digital art side, but often abstracting away NFT as sort of the top line thing in that communication. When you think about someone scanning and collecting this digital object, is NFT part of that vernacular when you're communicating what's happening, or do you abstract that away and just, there's a product hook that gets someone excited to walk up to the sculpture and all of a sudden they own something. How do you think about that?
It's a great question. I will tell you myself that I very rarely use the word NFT anymore. I wrote this piece earlier this year called Storing Value in Digital Objects, where I make a number of arguments, but the piece itself, I think, was viewed or over half a million times or 600,000 times, and I didn't use the word NFT a single time.
Crazy. Did you remove it from your bio, or?
just curious. So a little Moonbird's joke. I will say, like, we as an industry have a tendency, because it's so we're a very technologically dense industry. There's a lot of really cool, innovative technology happening here. I think we default to explaining technology as it's, you know, meant for creators and developers. But the truth is most people aren't that. What they can understand are features. What they can understand are value props. And so when people in Marfa come to learn more about digital art, we don't talk about it in terms of NFT. We talk about it as digital art. And we all know what digital art is, right? Like, digital art has been around for a long time. I think the big unlock is we now have this public database, just like a private database, just like a database by which you store files on Dropbox or on your computer locally. But this public database allows anybody to read or write to it and allows anybody around the world 24/7 to prove ownership over it and for all of us to understand who owns that thing. And once you have ownership, you can start to build property rights on top. And that unlock, I think that feature set is much more well understood. And that's usually the angle we try to take when we write our statements and we talk about the work, is like that unlock that digital art now has, where we have this public database by which to show and prove ownership.
Have you thought about doing like a annual kind of like print-based magazine that features all the artworks and everything that you did throughout the year so that someone can have something physical for like their desk?
Maddie and Malta, you guys want to talk a little bit about some of those early conversations?
Give us the alpha.
We talked about it.
Okay.
But we're not ready to share anything.
Sweet. Well, I got that one. Let's do some audience questions. Amanda.
I'm here. I wanted to make sure I was sitting right next to Wayne, because Wayne is somebody who has just been a big fan of you. Like, I think it means a lot.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. We love Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Wayne's awesome.
Of Glitch and like these posters, you know, reporting on the all the full set holders, like just really kind of jumping into it. And I think it's a testament to what you're doing and how much like passion you have and how much everyone kind of sees that. But I just wanted to kind of like highlight you, Wayne. Do you have a question for the Glitch team? I just wanted to like, I don't know. I always wanted to lift them up.
Are you putting him on the spot? Like, you were saying you must have a question?
You must. I mean, I don't know if you want to say anything. Like, this is your chat because, you know, you're kind of obsessed with Derek. It's cool, but it's
wow. Let's just say I'm a big fan of the entire Glitch team and Collab. I fell in love with these posters early. And I was trying to think what I could say about it. They really solved a pain point for me, which was historical context. I felt like I was gravitating toward the new shiny object, wasn't stepping back. So the every 30-day concept solved that pain point. And then the posters kind of served as a forcing function to do that. So I think from my personal curiosity, I do look up to Derek as a collector. The concept of a full set really meant something to me, and I knew it would mean something to Derek. And so from my own curiosity, I was building a Dune dashboard. I think I'll speak to the fact that I love blockchain data in this public ledger, but the construct of stuff like a full set is not baked in. Like, you really have to intentionally design and set out for it. And so I started measuring that, not thinking it would catch on or it would lead to a Snowfro signed physical print during this weekend. So I guess that my
surprise.
Unbelievable. Maybe a question out of this is any collecting behavior learnings from the poster that you feel like was insightful that maybe you hadn't seen before from art you've collected previously?
It's a great, first of all, thank you for the kind words. You are the target demographic of everything we're trying to do. Like, you've just repeated back all of our, we talk constantly about this stuff, and you have captured the essence of what we're really trying to do. I don't even know if I have the ability to answer a question. Like, what's the essence of the question you're asking?
I would maybe just collecting behavior that emerged from posters.
The data.
but even maybe talk to your personal collecting style and how even just the E30D exhibits has kind of helped you reflect and evolve your own personal style.
Yeah, so we, Maddie and I, and you mentioned collab. I also got to say, like, what you see here is Glitch, the public front of house, but there's so many people that are helping behind the scenes. You probably have seen Zach running around all day. He's my chief of staff at Collab Currency. There he is right there. That's Zach. Steven Michelle are my co-owners along with Madison here at Glitch. They're amazing people. You should see that they're wearing Other Side shirts today. Please go say thank you if you see them today. The rest of the collab team, we had our offsite here earlier this week. So I run a venture fund, as many of you know. We have 6 amazing investors on the team. They're around wearing Glitch shirts and collab shirts, so say hi to them. They all have chipped in to kind of help make this a wonderful weekend. To answer your question directly, we were the whole team went to Chinati yesterday and kind of looked around, and a very popular device, just not at Chinati, but everywhere, is to have like these, you know, very big spaces, right? And these singular objects that take up very little space against the rest of the room. And what we're doing with every 30 days is really trying to draw focus to things that we think are important. And it's really just the sequencing of one object by one artist every 30 days is our ability to kind of refine scope down to things that we think are worth talking about. And we just haven't seen that enough in this space. And there's so much work that we want to honor and so many stories that we want to tell. But I think the way to do that in a place where words are abundant and videos are abundant and conversation is abundant is to tell people, hey, we want you to draw focus to this one thing. And we want you to spend time thinking about it for 30 days. And that's really the genesis of the, like, the core essence of the idea of what that means. I would say, to answer your other question about what the data has surfaced, I think for such a long time, people have been able to go to galleries and buy exhibition posters or buy a t-shirt from their favorite brand or, you know, buy a membership to the YMCA or to a golf club. But what hasn't been visible are like these invisible connections that we all have to each other when we own the same things. And what Full Sets do, and Snowfro I credit for so much of how I think and collect in this space and think about work, what digital objects and digital objects specifically on blockchains allow us to do is to start surfacing those invisible connections. So Kevin and I may own the same object in physical form and never know it. But in digital form, you know, the ability for us to start teasing out those connections and, you know, creating deeper connections by virtue of us now having this visible insight, this line of sight into that, is really powerful. And I think Full Sets are a way to honor the people that are, you know, really supporting the work that the three of us are doing on a monthly basis. And so there isn't any benefits to being a Full Set holder. Just like there's no benefits to owning one of every Art Blocks curated piece. But what I will say is that it allows for people to connect to each other deeper and for us to, you know, honor the people who are showing up and spending time learning about the work, talking about the work, and that's the real juice, as it were.
The flex. There's still a flex. Don't deny that.
They're
flex.
Also a little bit of a flex. Let's go.
When the second one, yeah, I think when the second one hit, or maybe it was a third, people got it. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, this isn't going to go away. Yeah. And that was very exciting to see that the way we were intentionally trying to trickle these out started to work, which was really exciting. Wayne was honestly a very big part of the storytelling with his analytics.
Thank
there,
you,
actually.
Wayne. Yeah.
Speaking of analytics, we got somebody with a question. Stan, you got to stand up. You got to stand up. Mao told me I have to make everyone stand up.
How do you guys think about Glitch? Like, I feel like when I first heard about Glitch, I thought of a space in Marfa, and just hearing you talk about it, it feels like it's more and more an online entity. I know you're not based here. Are you based here, Malta?
Yeah.
So none of the three of you are based here. How do you see that evolving? Like, when you first bought the real estate, and are you seeing this more going forward as Glitch is actually kind of an online entity that just happens to have physical space in Marfa? Or?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is something that we talk about constantly, and I just think that we don't have any public announcements about that. But what I will just say is something that's baked into the three of us is really thinking about how we can continue to extend the digital into physical spaces. There isn't an output I can share with you yet, but it is important to us that as the digital piece of Glitch grows, so does the physical.
Amazing. Does anyone else have any questions? Yes? No?
think we're good. Thank you, guys.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for the Glitch Crew.
I have to go buy a full set now. Damn it.
Have to.
Can you take me higher?
Let's go. Wait, here we go. Die with the most likes, everyone. Round of applause.
We're going to round of applause to die with. Going.
I'm still recovering from that eye-stinging silence earlier. That was a treat. That was nice. it was awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
It's an honor to have you. Do you go by die with? You
die,
like the whole
die
thing?
Is cool. Die yeah. is cool. Anything is really cool with me. I've heard die with too, but die is cool. It's funny. I went to Italy a while ago and really talented artist Sky Golpe was the first person who said, "Hey, die!" And he had this like incredible Italian accent. And I'm like, "All right, that's cool. I'm die now." So yeah,
that's awesome. Well, we're so stoked to have you here. You're doing some really crazy stuff this weekend, and thank you for doing one of our grails. That was awesome. It's up here. Yeah, just absolutely beautiful. Let's start off with like, you know, can you give us a little bit of background for those that aren't familiar, kind of like how you came into this whole space and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from a really small town in Indiana. It's Hammond. So, you know, the digital and art, like, history in general just was non-existent. Like, our biggest art thing was an RV museum. So, you know, we go and look at the new RVs. And so, you know, to essentially be able to then, you know, observe art on a daily basis, and, you know, I kind of just had a Twitter, and then I heard about Hikentnunk, which was an early Tezos platform, and I was minting on there because it was just full of, like, weirdo shit that nobody else wanted, more or less. Like, I kind of describe it as, you know, the county fair Gravitron that was just spewing vomit into the air, and, you know, we were more or less forcing people to reckon with the weirdo shit we were making, which was
it's so hard to figure out how to use, too. You're like, what is this website?
I couldn't even tell if I was selling stuff. I mean, like, I was just like, it's out there. I don't know what's going on. So it was, so that's kind of my entry point there, and then for the longest time, you know, I bring madness and absurdity and depravity on Twitter, and really try to just get crazy on there. Like, I love just blasting it out. And so then cut forward to, you know, like a 4-month campaign with Super Rare where I was crafting these absurdist tweets, like claiming that, you know, I had done DMT and I was reenacting how Stella got her groove back for my Super Rare application video. And so finally Zach just, like, you know, he finally gets tagged in one of those because I wasn't even tagging him. And he's like, dude, you're on. What the hell is going on? So it's kind of been history since then. But I've been making art forever, and I'm a writer as well. So...
you have a book as well. I just got it. Someone sent me the link,
you.
And I got
That's
it on
incredible.
Amazon.
Oh, thank you.
And so it has a great title. Remind me again, what was it?
Oh, I have like five.
Okay.
Yeah, so it might be like Sparsely Attended Funerals or An Eye for an Eye.
Eye for Eye.
Yeah.
And something and something something. What is it?
Yeah,
eye for
yeah.
an Eye?
It's an absurdist satire about those like stupid beach reads by like David Baldacci that makes like $500 a year. So like I actually embodied a alter ego for it and wrote it as Mark Baldacci. It's a whole story. But it's been cool because nobody wanted to read any of my books. And now that like I'm making art that people like, now I'm like, oh, you can read my books too. This is awesome. So it's been such a wild ride, and I'm just so grateful to, have anybody even listen to my nasally drone or, you know, look at my crazy art that I make. So I'm so happy.
That's great. Yeah, Dai. So, I mean, you post on Twitter a new image almost every day, it seems, and it's a commentary on what's happening in the space. Talk about your process for that a little bit. How do you get in that zone to embody what's happening and then express it in those ways that only you could?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, most of it boils down to ground beef, as you can observe there, the spiral over there. And I think there's an absurdity in ground beef in the sense that it's an entire animal's existence that's been pulverized in plastic by a butcher and sold to us is like, you know, discounted at a grocery store. So I find it really comical that we're not all that different from ground beef, you know, prized hogs waiting for slaughter at the county fair. And so I look at the things happening in the space and with the same absurdist lens, essentially, you know, crafting everything and more or less dissolving it into that same plastic wrapped thing of pink spaghetti that we buy and eat without much thought. So a lot of my stuff focuses around consumption and transaction and kind of like our demise into insects. More or less, as you can see here, the Netty Bong is a crowd favorite, of course. The official logo of Web3, as I deemed it. But yeah, really, I bask in the absurd and the mad. So, you know, living in that world and being on Twitter and really being able to delve into that is my favorite thing in the world. You know, it's just incredible. And
that's Glitch right there.
That's yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there it
there's
is.
There's Glitch. Oh, if we can get the GIF going, that guy will be thrusting. Yeah, play that. Yep.
There we go.
There it is. There it is. Oh.
Oh, we got one pump.
Got one pump. So I guess, so that's kind of it, though. Yeah.
Do you have, an iPad? Are you just sketching these out, or what are you doing?
I do, yeah. I use Procreate mainly, and then, of course, we'll get into it in a little bit, but I love painting, so I've got this weird basement, studio, but it's just a basement in our house with poor lighting that I paint a lot of things in, too. So, but most of all the digital stuff is with Procreate, and then, of course, for the Grails.
Yeah, the Grails was a painting, right?
Which was so cool because, I don't really do that a lot. Well, never really, turn my acrylics into digital pieces. So it was awesome to have the opportunity with Proof, who said, hey, let's do something different, something out there that isn't necessarily, this, I feel like, pretty recognizable style. And I just had a blast being able to let loose on the canvas without any type of, expectation or anything like that. So it was really cool.
How do you think about inspiration by virtue of other artists, right? Your work is so unique and different, but you've got to have people that you look up to, whether they're traditional, whether they're digital artists, whether, frankly, you take a lot of inspiration just from just life, right? And social spaces. But maybe talk a little bit about your inspiration on the artist side and sure. who you look up to and I guess what's helped you refine and shape your work over time.
Sure. Well, it's odd because most of my artistic vision was created through reading, first of all, because there was no art to be had, again, in my hometown, kind of. So, I would find myself reading, of course, Hunter S. and Burroughs and all those kind of absurd, insane authors that just, created these really unique worlds. But so that's been the real treat, is being in this world where I can now consume art that I would have never been able to look at on a daily basis. And I think that ultimately we're all fueling the shit out of each other. We're all looking at each other's work and saying oh my God, this is an incredible piece. I've got to bring mine to the next level and really push myself artistically. And I think that there's kind of this collective inspiration that's happening, honestly, where you don't even realize it. It's passive almost. I don't think there's ever been a point in time where you're just consuming, world-class art on a second-by-second basis on Twitter throughout the day. And I almost think we take it for granted. You're scrolling around and looking around, and it's just something could pretty much, change your perspective on the entire world, and you see it for a second, which is crazy. So, I think that collective inspiration that we're all going through is ultimately pushing everyone into that next orbit, honestly. So, I don't even want to mention specific artists because there's so many to mention, but
the public arena of it's completely everyone's just learning and doing and creating and one-upping, and it's leading to really great work every second of every day.
For sure. That's right. Yeah. I mean, even I did a Grant Yoon derivative actually that has this horrifically sad story behind it. And it's it's ground beef. It's this iconic cow piece. And he was so nice to, I DM'd him. He's like, use it. That's sweet. And that was the really beautiful moment, and how him and I became kind of friends, where it's everyone's just kind of building off of each other in some ways. It's really cool.
Can you tell us what you're doing out here, Marfa? I saw some Christie's ball sacks that were dipped in Christie's paint. Is that for sale, or what are you doing here?
Yeah, so I couldn't be, I'm going to use the classic Web3 horrific platitude of couldn't be more excited or couldn't be more grateful, but I really am. I'm super
shaking right now.
Shaking and shitting RN. So this is what's happening. As you can see, plenty of Limp Bizkit logos, Tap Out, Creed. It's going to be complete madness. I got to say that, Glitch, so this goes back to your kind of bridge between the physical and digital, too, because for this exhibit, it's a combination. So what happened was I worked with the Transient Labs team, who shouts out to Chris O, one of the best ever, and Transient Labs just in general.
They're amazing.
You can't really say enough about them because, they'll come to you with visions or you come to them with visions, and then, the thing that is produced is just entirely different than what you even thought it could be. It absolutely transcends what even you had imagined, so it's really incredible. But for this one, I painted 30 beef Rothkos. So those are ground beef Rothkos, essentially, where in my basement, painted 30 of those things, and they'll be hung up around the
walls.
They're here.
I've seen them. They're amazing. They're here. They're in the building.
So in varying states of decay, in varying states of fly, orgies and things that are happening on the Rothkos themselves. And then what we did was we trained a model to create 666
unique versions of these beef brothcos, and it was just such a hilarious process. You know, Chris and I online at 2 a.m. drinking Four Locos, listening to Hooba Stank, and just cranking through this beef. It makes someone question their sanity when you're looking at generative beef, and it's the first ever fully fuckable generative beef project, so I cannot be more excited about that.
I'll just say one quick thing. Madison and I are in a Telegram channel with Die With and Chris from Transient, and every morning I wake up and there's 200 new messages of the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. It's so entertaining drinking coffee in the morning, just going through and reading everything that they've been doing.
Well, and as an extension of that, there is going to be a travel and flea market. So I'm hearing that there may be a deep fake of Rick from Pawn Stars at this thing or something. And essentially there's going to be a booth where folks can come in and haggle over the Tiffany's truck nuts and other prized items. So if you come to the flea market, make sure you bring stuff to haggle with. It's going to be pretty hilarious and absurd, as you would imagine.
And that's tomorrow night, right?
That's tomorrow night. Yep.
Tomorrow here at Glitch.
Yep. This yeah, roll entire, up. It's going
to
be...
We've given this dude complete creative control to take over this space. I don't even know what the heck it's going to look like. It's going to be insane, but it's here tomorrow night.
It's going to get wild, yeah. Four Locos are going to be flowing. All other types of malt liquor and energy drinks. There's going to be ground beef all over the walls. So I'm fucking fired up, you know?
I'm mad that CT doesn't follow you. CT.
CT not?
Oh,
she's
no.
Not following
oh,
there we go.
It's CT. What are we not doing again, back there, time. CT?
I'm on the Proof Podcast account, so we're okay.
I'm sad that the Proof Podcast account doesn't follow you. Let's go make that happen.
Oh, no.
Let's make that happen.
No.
Di, what do you think, what's next for you? I mean, are you doing more writing? Do you see just sort of continuing down this path?
Yeah.
What's exciting, energizing?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I think much like Glitch, I love the exploration of the digital in unison, where the exploration of the physical with the digital, because I think that there's different stories to be told there in the different mediums where people can kind of, like you look at that piece and there's an entirely different tale to be told. So I think for me, it's just there's an urgency that I need to, you know, document and tell this story that I have, you know, from middle America and just like hammering people with, you know, my kind of exaggerated, skewed, insane lens on the world itself. And, you know, hopefully maybe make people take a step back and either, you know, have reprieve or take a step back and say, you know, what the fuck am I doing, dude? This is insane. Like I'm becoming this like consumptive insect creature that you know doesn't really think about what's being you know passively put into my body and you know quickly evacuated into a truck stop toilet. So that's it. I think that just for me it's just pounding along and keeping to tell that story and keep on making the absurd things that people enjoy, because I think that's the other thing with the artist perspective of getting, you know, inspiration from each other. I think even non-artists, it's just everyone there is doing something and everyone there is fueling each other. You know, like the interactions you have are ultimately creating, are ultimately blocks for these next creations. So I think that's an important point too.
One question for you. I know when I saw you and got into your grails and I started exploring some of your work and I saw all of your Twitter stuff, I was like, okay, I need to start, you know, picking up a few of these pieces because I thought they're hilarious and fun and awesome and funky and weird in all the right ways. For people out there that don't yet own one of your pieces, how do you think about your kind of portfolio, how you get new pieces out there? You have super rares, those are kind of one-on-ones. Yeah. Do you do editions on the regular? Like, can people obviously can still go to Hin and Object and pick up your pieces. Where do people dabble if they want to pick up something of yours?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm super careful about minting, honestly. Like most of this stuff is just made out of joy of creation, which I think is vital and I think is missing sometimes, where creation for the sake of creation is my, you know, motto. Like if you're not enjoying making it, then people aren't going to enjoy looking at it or experiencing it. So I did just have a launch with Nifty called Chub Packs, where it was just a bunch of ground beef shoved into people's gullets, but it was all sorts of absurdity, and so that was incredible. But otherwise, yeah, like I'm super careful. There's the stuff on Tezos. There's also going to be another flea market launching. Oh, those are ass Zookies. So as you can see there, it's got a Four Loco butt bong in its mouth and Ace Hardware sweater. Oh, the legalized Jankum, of course, the huffable shitbag, of course. But yeah, like the I'm super careful.
They could have partnered with you for their new drop, their new collection.
I told them I'm like, I could have saved this.
See that
right? So this was an incredible drop, but I'm really careful, and I just really enjoy the strategy behind that part of it too, because I just want people to enjoy it and not have to be like out there all the time, like a parasite or something trying to, yeah.
So you mean really careful in the sense that you don't want to be seen as someone that's just extracting like from the community,
yeah,
like taking
much.
Any evidence.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. So, but that also reduces the supply in some sense. And so you're not doing a lot of drops.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of challenging to figure out like, how do I go in and collect?
It is.
So do you just sit on the sidelines and just kind of wait? Do you typically try to do a mint like once a month or what?
No, never. Not at all. Yeah. Like for my one of ones, really, I've been so fortunate because like people will generally just reach out in DMs and say like, hey, what's on deck? And then, or they'll see a physical that I posted and they'll say, hey, is there a digital accompaniment to this thing? And so that's usually how those sales happen on Super Rare. But anything else, I don't really have a time frame on a lot of stuff, but really it's just creating the best possible experience for people to like be able to delve into the mad world of the meat is real universe, the Plato's closet and Pornhub hat and stuff.
I see the AN1 guy there in the top
yeah,
right corner.
There he is.
So awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Die, I can't not think of Four Loko and not think of NFT stats. So he's got
no
a question
doubt.
For you.
Always at the office, but the Four Loko is Sam.
One thing that I'm always wondering when I look at your work is what your relationship is with your town, because you're representing this really small town and bringing it to this whole world of investors from all over the world, and it feels extremely satirical. But I think of like Hillbilly Elegy, where there's also this idea of also trying to like bring your town to a broader community and the whole world in a positive light. But what is your relationship like with your town in Indiana?
Yeah, it really is. There's some truly sickening things there, I think, in terms of the things that occur there, and the consumption, the restaurants, like every there's parts of it that are sickening, and I think that are repulsive in some ways. And then other parts are true love, like I think that there is something really beautiful about our fast casual existence in the United States. It's just, you can go to Chili's and get bombed and eat eat whatever for like $8, and it's awesome. It's an incredible experience. Like I love Buffalo Wild Wings and I love all those fast casual restaurants that I ridicule sometimes. Like I'll go to Dave and Buster's and hammer back a couple pitchers of Blue Moon and play the games there. It's like an incredible experience, but also I think there's one hilarity in the absurdity that these places exist and thrive, which I love exploring, like just the funniness of it. It's just funny. And then on the other hand, to your point, I think within the pieces themselves, you'll see the absurdity, you'll see the madness, but then with the writing on top of those, like you'll see some really like heartbreaking writing that I do on there, prose, like microfiction that I think are ultimately very sad and very poignant, it is a dichotomy finding both the hilariousness and the sadness within kind of both of those.
That Mitrion is fantastic.
Right, filet Mitrion.
Yeah, Best Buy was my first job, so I feel so like there's something about your stuff that is just, it just hits.
You know, we have
like
that
in
common. I worked at Best Buy too.
You did, yeah. You were Geek Squad though, right?
No, I was pre Geek Squad. Yeah,
pre Geek Squad, but you were still like,
you were selling digital cameras.
Digital cameras.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Nice.
Yes, we were close to each other. I was fixing the computers.
Yeah, there's something about your
Thank
work
you.
That I think all of us, if those who are from America, like, or maybe not, right? Like, a lot of us probably ended up, like, grew up in these very sort of normal worlds and then made a decision to maybe do something more unique, right? But we all still all know some of these brands and all of these things, and it's still somewhere part of us, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's kind of heartwarming, and it like kind of hits you and reaches you, and it like, again, like what Kevin said, you are the artist of the year. We all love you. I'm so excited to grab some
thank
truck
you
nuts.
So much.
Let's
go. I'm so stoked. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Amazing.
Do we have any audience questions real quick?
Anyone else? I know we're over. I know we're
over.
We've been hanging out, but that was a great question.
Awesome.
Sam, thank you.
That was awesome. Thank you.
So tomorrow night, obviously Glitch, it's going to be, you're going to have to get cleaners afterwards, it sounds
you
like.
Will.
It's going to be hardcore.
Yeah, I put together a nu metal playlist that is just out of this world. Puddle of Mud, Creed, Nickelback. It's going to be, your ears are never going to recover from tomorrow
yeah,
night.
Listen, I want to just say that this is just Justin's playlist. Like, in life. Right. So Justin's stoked. Justin has a question. Oh, Justin loves you.
He loves Nickelback too.
He loves Nickelback and Creed.
He loves Nickelback.
No, I just sense a lot of metal coming from you immediately when I saw your work, which I really appreciate. Yeah. What's kind of your constant playlist? Who are some of the artists that you listen to and you're just going absolutely fucking wild on this stuff?
Yeah, I am a big metalhead, so I like Bong. I like a lot of the Doom stuff, so Bong Ripper and Gate Creeper and all those kind of bands. But you know, I'll put on whatever. Like, anything kind of works. I mean. I'm trying to think about other
Christina
stuff.
Aguilera.
Yeah, Christina. Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Human Clay is just on repeat, of course. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, that's. We'll talk after about some metal for sure. Yeah, thank you. And thank you again for having me. And thank you so much again to Transient and Glitch because, like, this event is going to be crazy. And I'm so happy that that you guys believe in kind of the madness, the absurdity, and the merger of, physical and digital. So thank you guys so much for having me on the pod. And yeah, thank you for. Coming tomorrow night. I hope everyone has a great night.
It's going to be so much fun. Thanks, Di.
Di with the most likes.
Let's go. Well, I think that's it.
We did
it. This is your joint. This is your spot.
I'm just stoked. This is the second annual 100 Proof Live in Marfa. This is going to be a recurring thing. I remember last year, was this our first live show ever that we did?
I think so.
And it kicked off a bunch of live shows we've done since, so...
And there's more people this year, right?
There's more people this year.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy given the market that we're in. It just shows that like the art is not going away and people are really into it. So it's awesome.
Tim Ferriss back next year.
Yeah, I talked to Tim. He's in some other state right now, but he's doing other things. But yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. All right.
Yeah, thank you to the Proof team. You guys are the best. They put in so much work behind the scenes. Mao, Maggie, CT, all of you guys are just so amazing.
Yeah, obviously Malta, Nifty, Snowfro, Madison, like thank you all for coming in. And of course, Die with Most Likes. Tomorrow here, 9 p.m. And then catch 100 Proof Live Friday mornings at 10 a.m.
We're doing
Pacific.
That live show coming up.
That's right.
Please be there.
Yeah, events.proof.xyz for that live show coming up.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys later.
Thanks, y'all.